on your mind.
She needs to play that game a little more often, I think.
They don't say it a lot. We have to say it a lot.
You
have to listen. Yeah. Sorry.
All right, there we are. They did win. You can watch it on YouTube, okay? Everybody? Good. Hey, let's welcome our first-time guest, amen, in the house. We're so grateful that you're here. If you're visiting for the first time, make sure that you get a welcome gift. As it says in the announcement, they're right there at the Welcome Center. There'll be a great leader there that will tell you all about all the information that you need to know. It'd be an honor to shake your hand. Make sure that you come by and greet us also. If you get a chance, Irma and I are blessed that you're here along with the leadership at Living Faith Church. A couple of things I need to tell you about that are going to be on the big screen, or if they're not, I'll just tell you about them in faith. This Wednesday is Outreach Wednesday. We had a vision that God's given us that one day we're going to serve 24/7 outreach. For 24 hours straight, we're going to do nothing but outreach. It's going to take a whole bunch of people. We're not there yet. But this Wednesday, we're attempting to do something that we've never done before. And I want to show up strong. I want to show up just with God's people. That means you and I serving together. So what we'll do is do an outreach in the morning for John Jay. We'll reach young people that are coming from the high school. Sloppy Joe's, man. Give me a good amen. They're going to eat good and they're going to be blessed. And if there's enough left over, we'll get to have a bite or two. Is that cool? Yeah. But we feed kids first, and if you need to just see Helen today, let her know that you'll show up, where to serve and what to do. We need lots of help. About 400 students show up to eat the lunch period, so it's not if it's one person doing it, it's going to be overwhelming, but it's never overwhelming because we have people that show up and help. Amen. Everyone can do their part. If you can't show up, just pray for it. Is that good? Yes. The second thing that we'll do is that night at 6:45, we'll gather in the student center and we'll do the KISS outreach. We've done the KISS outreach last year and we're going to do it again. What we do is give out Hershey kisses along with little tracts that say, Happy Valentine's Day, God loves you and so do we. And a kiss is attached. Juan and B have attached like, I think 300 glue dotted Hershey kisses onto these tracts. They've done great work, but we need to show up and hand them out to our community. We hit the places where the population's at, and we love on people. This is a lonely time sometimes for people that don't have maybe a spouse, or they're single, or they're alone. Everyone deserves to be loved, amen, with the love of God. So would you help me with that? Don't let your pastor walk out there alone with 300 pamphlets, right? Show up with me. You can do your part and we can love on people. It's the greatest thing that you'll ever do. I guarantee it. We're Living Faith Church, faith that you can see as we gather, grow, and
go.
You help me out with the go, right, everybody? Let's welcome live the Facebook audience. Come on, give them a big, big hand. I want to thank Pastor Ken Pittner that showed up last week. You gave us some time off. And one guy told me in a text, he said, man, why don't you stay away a little bit more, Pastor? Take more vacation. He meant it nice, amen. That's the way he is. But Kim Pittner did a fantastic job. Do you appreciate the man of God coming? Amen. Just thank you, Pastor Pittner, for doing that. He's like a father in the Lord to our congregation. Very, very well received, and we thank God for it. Message notes, do you have them handy? If you don't, an usher will get you those right now. Our choice man, Alex, is on that side. Raise your hand high. You're going to need them. At least take them so you can read the scriptures. And you can get along with what you, it just makes it more interactive for you. Make sure that you share the message on Facebook. Multiply our efforts to spread the gospel of Jesus. Everyone needs help with relationships. No one's arrived, so I hope that you'll share the message on your social media, especially your Facebook page. Yes, and amen.
Amen.
So we're going to focus in on relationships for the month of February. Valentine's Day is coming up, and so we do that. Every year we do a relationship series, so this is that one that we do. So right off the bat, I want to go ahead and do a poll. Ladies, I want you to go first. Ladies, go first. So the poll is this. Ladies, how many of you, when you were a little girl, 8 years old, 9 years old, you already dreamed of the great marriage that you were going to have, the great wedding that you were going to have, the gown that you would wear? You were probably no older than 12 years old. You already named your children. One would be, you know, this name. You would have a boy and a girl. You'd have a dog, the white picket fence. You already picked out everything. But you dreamed of doing that and having that. That was your dream. Can you be honest in the house of God? Did anybody dream of that? Okay. God bless you, ladies. You participated better than the first service, so thank God. Men, it's your turn now. Men in this room, you probably had a little bit different fantasy as a teenager.
Yes.
Pretty simple, amen? You probably dreamed about getting married and having sex at least twice a day and three times on Sunday.
Yes.
Are any men in the house that dreamed that?
Yes.
Nava, go first, right, everybody? And so we're talking to everybody. How many are still dreaming? Men and women, right, everybody? And so it's that way, and God, still his idea about relationships are his idea, and we have to do it God's way. How many know we need God's help?
Amen.
And we all do. I noticed that failing relationships are just as much as they are in the world. Within the church, we fail just as much as the world does, and we should have the answers. Not that we should be perfect. I'll speak at that in a moment. But we should have the answers to let our relationships not only survive, but thrive. They should be very healthy. And so polls say, depending on where you look at it, 35% to 50% of relationships, even within the church, of husband and wife, they fail. And so if that's the case, well, we just want to take that risk. I'm going to take a 35% chance that my relationship's going to end in separation or divorce. Take a 50% chance. Where else would you take those odds? Nowhere. If I told you, hey, don't go into that restaurant because you like it a lot, but behind the kitchen door has been there a lot. And next time you go in there, I got food poisoning, bro. Don't go in there. There's a 50% chance if you go in there, you're going to get food poisoning. Would you go in there? Probably not. You would say, you know, I'm not going to take the risk. I'm going to pray and fast today. Amen, Pastor, with you? You probably did. Or if I said, hey, there's a 50% chance or 45% chance that if you get on that plane, it's going to crash. I think I'll ride my bike wherever I need to go, right? You wouldn't get it. Hey, you're going to drive. There's a 50% chance that you're going to die when you get in the car in a horrific car accident. You would not. You would take the bus. Well, we take all these chances with the most important thing that God's given us to steward. And it's time to stop taking that chance and to learn the principles of God's word. So we learn how to steward our relationships well. And so it requires a commitment for us to order our lives and to do what God wants us to do. So we're going to be honest in this room. It's good. I want you to show up for the next 4 weeks because that's what covers. We'll cover something. I've taken it from the Gary Smalley book, I promise. And you can get that book on Amazon or wherever you want and read along. But I'll take a lot of meat from that and we'll digest it as a church today. There's a funny story I heard about a husband. And he goes to the family doctor. He said, "Doc, I think my wife is going deaf. Or she can't hear. And I always have to say stuff over and over so she can hear." And so the doctor says, "Well, here's what I want you to do. Test it out. When you go home tonight, stand like 15 feet away from her and ask her a question, whatever question you want." So he gets home and she's chopping. Her back is turned. She's chopping up vegetables and getting dinner ready. And her back is turned. He goes, "Honey, what are we having for dinner tonight?" Nothing, no response. Gets a little bit closer, 5 feet closer, 10. He goes, "Honey, what are we having for dinner tonight?" Even speaks up louder. Nothing. "Honey, what are we having for dinner tonight?" Nothing. So he gets right by her ear and he shouts and he goes, "Honey, what are we having for dinner tonight?" He said, "You don't have to shout for the fourth time. Beef stew and vegetables." Some of you will get that at 3 a.m. that didn't hear. Based on that, here's what I want during this series. I want us to have a guideline. And the rules are this. You're going to listen for yourself. Don't be like that dude, okay? I just told you about it. This is for you to listen to. You can't change anybody. God has to change you first.
Right.
Pastor, I prayed and I prayed and he wouldn't change. No, you got to change. Prayer changes you. Amen? And so we can't fix anybody before we fix ourselves. So you fix you. Amen? The second thing is better. Good news here. I won't beat you up so much. Jesus makes all things new.
Amen.
And I'm so grateful for that, being married. How about you?
Jesus, yes.
I'm so grateful for that, being a dad, being a pastor. I'm so grateful that Jesus came full of grace in that order and truth. Full of grace and truth. Do you know what that means? It means he gave people second chances,
right.
Third chances. You know what he told the woman caught in adultery? He told her, "Neither do I condemn you. I'm not going to condemn you for committing adultery. He told her that. Well, she was about to get rocked and stoned with rocks. But you know what he also told her with truth? Because he was full of truth also. He said, go and sin no more. So we meet grace, full of grace, this series, and then we do the truth. We're going to do God's word. We got to obey God's word. Faith without doing the work of God is dead, right? We have to do the work of God today. Are you with me this morning? So thank God for the do-overs, for the grace, but we're going to walk in truth. We're going to get God's truth, and we're going to obey God today. It's not hard. God gave you that ability. And so the promise of God today in Song of Solomon, we've done a series on song, and it's a beautiful series. You can go back in our archives and look at that on the website or on Facebook. And it says this, place a seal over my heart, a seal like on your arm, which means a promise. Somebody say promise. In other words, give me a promise over my heart. I promise, I hope, you know, cross my heart that one, even though you don't want to say that, amen, that's a different thing. But that's how you make a promise. I promise with all my heart, amen, you're saying to that one you love, amen, that love is as strong as death. That's what we get on the vows when we get married, till death do us part. It's jealousy unyielding as the grave. It burns like blazing fire. It's like a flame. Many waters, in other words, there's going to be some problems in our relationship, but they cannot be quenched. Love cannot be quenched. Rivers cannot wash it away. If it was once the wealth, the house of God, it will be utterly scorned. That's just a poetic way at the very end of saying, let no man put asunder what God has brought together. And that's a vow also today. And just when you make a promise today, it's a powerful word. And I thought about promises that we've made and many that we've broken, including the chief sinner that's preaching today. We've all said things and we've all not come up. We've come up short. I thank God for the one that we look towards as our Heavenly Father that would say, hey, I made promises to you and I'll keep my promises to you. So within every believer, we have something within us, a heart, a spirit that is just like our Father in heaven. That when we make promises, we keep them because we're people of God today. Amen? Amen? And you may have had broken promises, but God makes all things new. You may have failed at your promise, but God makes all things new today. Thank God for a fresh start today. Amen? Amen? And you can change because God can change us today. Amen? The promise word, we get it from the Latin word, extra notes here on the screen, the promesso, prometer, which is the Latin. My tongue didn't roll as good as it did for the first time, but I speak the heavenly language, Spanish, so y'all better. I'm going to survive in heaven because I can say, quiero comer tacos, amen. Quiero comer fajitas, amen. So if you don't know Spanish, you're not going to make it in heaven, amen. The promeso there is the two words, Latin, it's where we get our word. And the first part is pro means forward, I'm going forward. It's not, well, I don't feel like it. No, you're a person of faith. Go forward by faith today. You make the choice. Feelings follow today to go forward. And so love is a choice. It's not a feeling. Feelings will go away. Thank God for love making the choice. And so the second word, meted, which means sent. So you're sending a promise forward. It's literally, the promise isn't for right now. We're all lovey-dovey. We're in the honeymoon stage. You need the promise 20 years from now. Amen? You need the promise when everybody's not with you anymore. Give me a good amen. And so love is that choice. So it's a declaration that you're sending something forward because it's going to be needed in the future. Do y'all get that with me? And so that's why we're promise keepers today. We make a commitment about our relationships today. God is a promise keeper, and He keeps His promise towards us today. God is a God of covenant, and that's how He gives us something that we can't outpay Him because He's been so good to us today. There's a progression of God's creation, and then there was dark, and the God created light. And from light came the sun, the moon, and the stars, and the cloud, and the firmament, the rain came, and the vegetation, and the fish, and the animals were named. And then man was created. Did you notice that? The progression, when God progresses in His creation, it's because you are the apex of His creation. He made you last. But you know, guys, you know how He made us? You know who He made from us? Ladies, women. And so they're better than us. And that's why when guys say, man, I married up, we mean it. Give me a good amen. It's quiet in this Baptist church, but y'all are okay, amen? The progression of God. Thank God he didn't stop at the clouds, and he didn't stop at the darkness. But he kept going, sun, moon, man, and then woman. Give me a good amen, guys. Yeah, it's a pattern that God followed. And so, again, extra notes right here in Genesis 2:24 on the screen. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined. In other words, you leave, and then somebody say cleave.
Cleave.
Yeah, leave and cleave. Leave, you cleave, and they shall become one flesh. They were both naked. That means they were emotionally vulnerable to each other. They were spiritually open to each other. They were soul open to each other. This is my weakness. And I can be vulnerable right now to you. And you can be vulnerable to me. And you won't make fun of me. And you won't shame me today. And the man and woman, and they were not ashamed today. So the picture of heaven coming to earth is marriage. The picture coming to earth is your home today. Amen. And so the kingdom of God is this, that if we seek God first, all these things shall be added. So God is my one. And then you have your two today. Many of us walk up to mama, our dad, and you bring them up. Dad, I found the one. Here she is. Or you come to pastor. Pastor, I found my one. Can y'all marry us in 3 months? And I go, you know, I don't think she's supposed to be your one. God is supposed to be your
one.
And we order our relationships that God would make everything else the secondary, and your spouse is your second. I've never met a man that, when he honors God, doesn't honor his wife.
Right.
I've never seen a couple where the husband or wife is not honoring God first and their marriage is honorable to God. Do we get that today?
Amen.
It flows. Amen. Put the big rocks in first. Everything will flow from that today. God will be my first. Amen. And my spouse will be my second. Give me a good amen.
Amen.
You did that today. You came to the house of the Lord on the very first day of the week. I know you got here late, but you got here. Give me a good amen.
Amen.
Amen. You're struggling to stay awake, but you got here. Amen. You did everything you could. Amen. I know you stayed up late last night, but you got here. Amen. I'm just picking on you. Amen. Trying to open that ward up again. Amen. We give God first, our very first, our tithe. That's giving God first. We put God first today. Amen. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, husbands, love your... Hey, why don't you read that with me? You haven't had any fun all day. On three. Ready? On three. One, two, three. Husbands, love your wife. That speaks so much to me right there. See, I can lose a church member as a pastor because this is just a job. It's a calling, but it's a job. It's work. And I can lose a member. But if I lose my wife, the number one church member on the front row, I lost everything.
Right.
Do you understand that today? So the number one priority is her. And thank God, I'm sorry I let you down here. You're not one, amen? She is. Irma and I got that Houston getaway this past. We got back Sunday night. Got to see the Super Bowl. But I thought I was going to, we thought, man, we're going to go see Joel Osteen. We went to Lakewood. And when we go to Lakewood, man, Joel's not there. I don't know if he was at the Super Bowl or what he was doing, but you got Joyce Myers. I know you ladies like that, but give the brother, amen. Give it. She's still good, amen. She's preaching, man. She was good, but we had a great weekend on the way back. We're talking, and she's telling me, "Hun, we don't do this enough," and that sort of thing. The investment of each other, amen. Not that it has to happen every Sunday, amen, because I know I need to keep my job here, amen. Yeah, Kim Pittner can come back, right, anytime, right? Don't shout, amen, and get glued. But the thought of investment towards each other, amen. The number one church member in your house is your wife, your spouse. Give me a good amen.
Amen.
And so things that destroy marriages aren't necessarily evil, but we need to prioritize them right. God is first. Your spouse is second today. I want you to get these three specific promises that will strengthen all of your relationships. Whether you're a single person here, you're at work because you have a relationship there with your boss and the fellow workers. If you're married, amen, especially today. If you're a young person here, we all need to strengthen our relationships and look for this today. The number one thing, number one is this, the promise of pursuit. There you go, amen. Irma worked hard to pursue me, man, when we were dating. I chased her until she caught me, amen? This Friday, I'm giving you guys heads up. The HEB flower section and every HEB is right in the front of the store. And they may say, I don't like flowers. You don't have to, but they like flowers. They're the devil is a liar. Come on, wake that guy up. Amen. He's going to sleep on God right now. Amen. Get them flowers. Get them whatever you need to get them. Amen. Save the chocolates for later or whatever that. But do something. Make a move. Don't do the same move that you've been doing since the Nixon era. Since the Reagan era, amen? Since the Clinton era, give them a new move, amen? The promise of pursuit is we have sometimes child-centered marriages. It's about the children. And if you have a child-centered marriage, you're not doing them any favor by putting them first. You show your children that you love them by loving your spouse. And you make them secure in that, right? And so they're going to be gone. They're just kind of visiting until they're 18. If they're millennials, they come back and they stay until they're 30. Yep. I promise to pursue you even after I have you. And when the thrill is gone, because that stuff happens, I just don't feel it anymore. Should we separate? No. Should we divorce? No. That's when it's like your truck is out of gas and you sell it. You put more gas in it. The choice, I don't feel it. Choice leads, feelings follow. Choice leads, feelings follow. And so you make the choice to love and the feelings will follow. How true is that? Yes? The Bible speaks of this church in Ephesus that was this great church. They birthed churches out of them. That's how healthy it was. But then they got spiritually depleted. They got spiritually... And John the Revelator spoke about them. And it's a striking picture about our relationships on how we let them get cold. And it says this in Revelation chapter 5, verse 2-5. Read it together on 3. 1, 2, 3. Consider how far you've fallen. Repent. And so I have something here about that scripture. Extra note that I can take it apart. Man, pursue her with affection. That she loves to have that eyeball-to-eyeball conversation with you. And you're loving her. And you're honoring her. And you're telling her how much she means that the moon and the stars are hung on her very presence. He said, no, it's corny. Do it. It'll light her fire. Amen? And how much you love her and how much she means to her. You've told me how much you love her, but have you told your wife? That's how much you need to tell her, right? How special she is. You're never too old to hear that, right, lady? Amen. Ladies, you got pursue him with affirmation. That means he's your man. He's the one. He's the one that provides. Hon, you need to tell him, hon, look at all that you've done. Look at our home. Look how blessed we are because of your hard work and what you do today. Amen. Don't tell him what he isn't. Tell him what he is. Amen. Your man needs to hear that today. We have such... I'm taking this marriage... small group, 5 Love Languages with Alex and Lisa Copeland. They're tremendous teachers. They're going to do it again. And if you're not in that class, no matter how long you've been married, no matter how old you are, you need to go to that class. Because Irma and I will be married 29 years come October. Thank God. To God be the glory. But you know what? I'm learning things. These great teachers that are in there and then the small group environment, just as incredible. These men, because it's a covenant group also, some of the things, we have some of the best men in this church. Some of the things that they do, I was hearing about them. They put us, just thank God for these guys. Amen. If you got up here, lady, I know that you would tell, man, my husband washes dishes. My husband, you know, he takes care of the children when I'm tired. Yeah, your man does that. Amen. We're blessed to have our men in this room. I know it's quiet now. I don't know why. Maybe the first service took it to a next level, but you guys are wondering, is that really true? Yes, it is, in the name of Jesus today. Relationships are not disposable, and the world would make them disposable, and that's the enemy would want to come along and say, end it, but it's precious before God. That's why you don't walk out. You stay, and you work it out. You bring resurrection to the marriage today. The second thing is this, the promise of partnership. Togetherness. We live in a world now, She takes her vacation, you take your vacation in separate places. And you belong with each other. She belongs with me, I belong with her. You do things together today. In Matthew 19:5, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother, and they will be united to his wife. And the two, somebody say two, will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. I wonder why he said that twice. Do you think he was trying to tell us something? That we're one? So when I hurt her, I hurt myself. Because we're one. When I'm jealous, we're both jealous. When I'm doing something wrong, we're both wrong. Because I'm hurting her. I'm hurting my own flesh. Therefore, do y'all get that? Yes? Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one...
separate.
Yeah. So thank God for the... When you were a child... When you were a teenager, and if you're not married, your priority relationship is your mother and father, or your spiritual mother and father. After that, after you get married, you have a priority relationship. It's your spouse. It's saying you're one today. Amen. There's a big difference. Well, you know what? That difference where I get bent out of shape. She's so different than me. And why does it's like I can't stand the difference now. But you know that difference is what attracted you? Because opposites attract. Amen. And then after time, they attack. Used to say, man, I just love her. She has so much information. She talks. She's knowledgeable about everything. She can make, you know, just things look so perfect. And she just talks. And I can listen to her all night. And then, like, now you're married 20 years later. And you say, man, she won't shut up. I just want to watch the football game. Yeah, but that's what attracted you. There are differences, and don't get bent out of shape. How about us? You were attracted to him. Man, he's just so calm. He's laid back, and he's just so easygoing. He sets me right. I'm just always calm. He brings me down. Now he's a lump on the log. It won't get off the couch with a remote, right?
Right.
Get up, man. Let's do something, right? But that used to attract you, and now why do you attack? The devil wants to divide. And God wants to unite relationships. And our differences, the reason why we get together is to strengthen us today. Do you know why we have an awesome church? Because of my wife. I know you're a great leader, but it's because of her. Her leadership ability. Her thing behind the scenes that has helped me so much. And I thank God. That completes me. And it completes you with your husband and wife on the gifts that they give you. Amen? Ephesians 5:21 says this, submit to one another out of the reverence of who? Mario? The Catholic priest? No, the bishop? No, out of Christ. That means there's something divine when you submit to each other. When you come together, the order of God happens today. You submit that decision to God. Is it a big decision? All the more so. We came together and we prayed and we asked God, what should we do? How should we do it? We get in trouble when we don't come. God's giving you a divine help, mate. But you got to get the help. And if you don't ask, and if you don't come together, then you're going to be in trouble. There's going to be debt. There's going to be problems with the children raising. And that's why you submit to each other in the reverence of Christ today. If you don't, again, have somebody to submit to, you have elders in this church. You have small group leaders in this church. You have somebody spiritual. A mother and father, if they're following Jesus, young person, submit to them today. Amen. You get the opinion and you say, God, help us. Amen. As we go through the process. So I promise that the relationship will be about we, not me. Because it's about we, not me today. Amen. The promise of this, the third one is this. Somebody hit your neighbor and say, this guy's so good, he's almost finished. You didn't want to do it anyway, but three is this, the promise of purity. Somebody shout purity.
Purity.
Healthy relationships are special, and they bring such benefit, and they're priceless, and they bring mutual benefit and satisfaction on both sides. So you fight for purity in your marriage. You fight for purity as a single woman, as a single man, with your thought life and your eye gate and your thought life today, because temptation's going to keep coming and coming and coming. But there is a way of escape today. And I'm not dogging anybody in this room because we're all human. We all face temptation today. We're all going to address God's word today about purity, because you can be pure as a man of God. You can be pure as a woman of God. God wouldn't have put it in the book if we couldn't do this thing. Ephesians 5:8. I love the scriptures. How about you? It says, you were once in darkness. Yeah, that's when I used to do porn, and I used to have an alcoholic problem, and I used to be addicted, and I used to, but now you're children of the light. It's not so much, well, my dad was addicted to porn, my dad was an alcoholic, my dad was always in jail. No, that was a generation ago. You're a child of light now. My Father in heaven is not an alcoholic. My Father in heaven is not addicted to porn. My Father in heaven is not a gossip. I want to include everybody. And therefore, I'm not a gossip because I'm a child of God. It's your identity. It's your identity. You're identified with God today. And you can be set free. Amen? Amen? Feed the right dog today. Don't feed the wrong dog. He'll bite you today. Live as children of the light, having nothing to do with fruitless deeds of darkness. Can you name a couple? Don't shout them, but you can think of them, right? They're fruitless. That's going to kill you if you keep doing it. Amen? But rather expose them. Now, if you came up in the middle of this church and said, I'm addicted to what, you know, whatever, you name off the big sins, you're going to be a fool to do that. But if you go to a small group leader, if you go to a small group like the five love languages and you make confession there, that's good. You know why? Because you'll find more weirdos like you. They're weird. Amen. Just like you.
Amen.
You have that problem? You were depressed? So was I. You thought your marriage was going to end? So did I. And you find identification there. That's why a small group is so important in your spiritual life that you need to be part of. Not only Sunday morning, but you can't win the battle alone. No one was meant to win the battle alone. You need the togetherness. Resurrection and marriages happen after you stink. You've been in the grave for 3 days, and Jesus calls you out. And he says, Lazarus, come out. And you have grave clothes on, and other people have to take the grave clothes off. In marriage, it happens because you were dead and now God called you alive. And they're saying, no way we're going to get divorced now because we have a bulletproof marriage. There's no way we're going to separate now because we've come to life today. I need to pause at a moment of the Holy Spirit, because you're wondering about that one that you're seeing, or you're wondering about that one you're kind of trying to be restored. If that person is not following Jesus, yes, you can pray them in, but that's probably not the best candidate for you, sweetie. That's not the best person that you should lock yourself into if because they're not following God like you. I have seen one person sabotage marriages in the history that I've been a pastor. But when two people are pulling, not two perfect people, but two people that are trying, the marriage will flourish. Do y'all know what I'm talking about today? So don't give up if you're together and you're walking with Jesus and you're serving the Lord. But wake up if one of you is the only one walking with Jesus today. Amen?
Amen.
Real, genuine, deep confession is a genuine attribute of revival. When people are confessing sin to each other, revival takes place. And Jesus said, I've come to give you life. Jesus said, I've come to give you church. I've come to give you
life.
He didn't come to give us church.
Right.
He came to give us life. And so before revival breaks out in the church house, you know where it needs to start at? In your home. Are you looking at your watch because you need to take your medication? Amen. Because it's 11:45 right now if you have to pop a pill. Amen. I'm sorry I'm boring you. Amen. But revival needs to take place first, you as a young man, submitted towards your mother and father. Revival in the house needs to take place in your marriages first before it happens in the church house. Amen? And so Adam and Eve were ashamed to look at each other. They were naked. They were ashamed. They were hiding behind the bush when God came in the cool of the day. And he said, Adam, Adam, where are you? And they had sinned. They messed up. And they were ashamed to look at each other. They were exposed. They saw each other's weaknesses. But where there's not confession, there will be hypocrisy and there'll be weakness today. And that's why we need to be real with each other in our marriages and say, this is my weakness. Can you pray for me? This is what I'm coming short in right now, honey. Can you bless me and help me in this area today? Because where there's secrecy, that's the enemy's playground. When you keep secrets, God won't work in a marriage like that. You reveal it, and God comes through today. Amen. You're saying, man, if I reveal it, you don't know my wife today. Here's where I come at you again. The Bible says that we've been given this grace freely. And if all the mistakes that I've made, I didn't have the grace of God on my life, I wouldn't preach today. I wouldn't be the pastor. I would have been disqualified a long time ago. So I was given all this grace freely, just like you. Just like you. Second chance after second chance. And because I was given it freely, when somebody comes and makes confession towards me, do you know what my response should be? Get away from me, you sinner. It should be, man, I have mercy. Because if anybody should not be preaching, it should be Mario Nava. Yeah. If anybody doesn't need forgiveness, it should be him. But Jesus sought that I would have grace. And freely I've been given it. And you know what the Bible says? Listen to me. That freely I should give it.
Right.
It cost Jesus big time to do that. But thank God, amen. I promise to confide in you and not to hide from you today. The Bible speaks of a scripture in Proverbs. Let's look at it in the final scripture today. Whomever conceals their sin does not prosper, but the one that confesses and renounces it, what do they find?
Mercy.
Great mercy. Because do you know why I forgive people as much as I can? Because I need mercy. I'm going to need mercy down the road. I know I am, because I'm going to mess up. And that's why if you forgive people, you get mercy. Every one of us in this room, you may have not been given that gift because you want justice done, but go ahead and forgive and you'll see how you get blessed today. Amen?
Amen.
The Catholic Church is a big time thing about confession. They've done it up with the way they build their buildings. And I remember my mom, before she got saved, she says, Mario, you're going to go straight to hell because you've never been in the confessional booth. La sangre de Cristo, mama. No, don't say that. No. You know, she said that because we were so Catholic. And we were Catholic by creed. We only went, you know, during the holiday, you know, or somebody's funeral or a wedding, and sat through that whole thing. And when the model of it, because I've never went into a confessional booth. I've seen them on TV. It's a priest standing behind this, like, veil or this thing. They can barely see that person. And you say something like this, Father, forgive me. For I've sinned, it's been, you know, 100 days since I've come. And you tell him, Father, I lied about my income tax or whatever you're going to say, you know. And he goes, son, or whatever he calls you, he goes, go say 5 Hail Marys and light some candles and or whatever you do. And, you know, you'll be free or whatever, I guess, right? Something like that, right? You guys help me out with the script later. That picture is still so relevant, not to that point, but where God would want you to have somebody on this earth, your wife, your husband, a brother or sister, that you would make confession to. So mercy would come and chase you down. Amen?
Amen.
And that's the hand of God. And so all hell and the devil is against the relationships that are birthed on earth. But God is for your relationship today. Amen. This final thought is today. In order for relationships to work, let the one who designed them define them today. Let the one who designed them define them today. And it's by God we do that. Are you okay coming to Living Faith Church this morning? Did you get something? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you right now that you would touch the people of the Lord. And this holy moment, Lord, where people are making decisions, that you would invade our hearts, God. Holy Spirit, you're here. I pray, God, that we would invest into the priority relationships, first with you, and then with our spouse, and then with our children in that order, Father. I thank you, God, that we would invest into those things that are eternal, which are my relationships. And if we drifted away from good practices, good deeds, God, I pray that we would go back to that first love. In the name of Jesus, all the couples, all the families at Living Faith Church, help me to value, help me to appreciate my relationships. And thank you, God, for the investment that's going to be made on both sides today. As I continue to pray and your heads are bowed, you're designed for relationship today. Those on Facebook Live, you're designed for relationship today. You're designed that God made you not to walk alone. Your primary relationship is where God the Father would come in and be your heavenly Father, and you would be brought into the family of God, not into a church, but into the family of God. And that was done by the death of Jesus on the cross. His blood saved you. His blood took away all your shame. But in order for you to have forgiveness of your sins, you must surrender your life. It's a good exchange, believe me. All the debt that you owe, all the things that you've done, God would say this day, you can be free if you come to me. You can be my son. You can be in the family, but you must come to me. And if that's you in this day, if that's you right now at this moment, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm going to ask that your hand slightly lifted right where you're at. You'll pray the prayer. Pray a sinner's prayer that I pray. And if that's you, would you lift your hand slightly? Two people, I saw your hands. You can put them down. Somebody else, just making sure you're in this room. You're lifting your hand. Amen. God bless you, sis. You can put it down. You're my sister. Somebody else. About three of you lifted your hand. Let's go ahead and pray the prayer today. The three of you, loud enough that you can hear it in your own ear. The sinners that are saved by grace, let's pray this prayer out loud. Let's join our brothers and sisters in this room. Come on and pray. In the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, hear my prayer. Forgive me of my sins. Wash me clean. I've drifted away from you, Lord. But this morning I'm coming home. You've never forgotten about me. You've always made a way for me. And I thank you for the blood of Jesus that wipes away every sin, washes me. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I am a new creation in Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Fill the people with the Holy Spirit today. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Would you receive the blessing now? Would you hold your hands up just a little bit above your lap? May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you and give you His peace. Amen and amen. To God be the glory. Come on, about three people. Receive Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank God for new life. There's a connect card in front of you. If you have that card, fill that out. Let me know that you received Christ. You rededicated your life to Christ. If you have a prayer request, Irma and I take those at our kitchen table, and we pray for you every week, and we'd love to pray for you if you have a need. Those are very important to us today. There's a growing in faith class, especially if you lifted your hand at 9 a.m. Diane Ruiz will be at the Welcome Center. She'll tell you all about 9 a.m. in the Student Center that you can be part of growing in faith. I pray that you're there. Worship team, would you come up? Psalmist, musicians, amen. Would you guys call yourself? Come up and dismiss us right now in a worship song. When we worship God right now, we worship Him through our giving. And this is just a moment ago when you were singing the songs of faith, when we were worshiping with all our might. We do that again. But we do that by coming to the altar and giving our best to the Lord, our first fruits, our tithe and our offering. There are several ways to give. You'll see them on the screen. You can do that with your smartphone. You can do that with your check. And, you can do that outside with a check debit card. So let's pray for the tithe and the offering. Would you stand to your feet as you get ready to do that with me? Heavenly Father, I thank you for the tithe and the offering. I thank you for the gift and the giver. These are generous people that are part of this church, Lord. So I thank you. Their generosity, it overflows, Lord, into missions like any woman can, into Spain, God, into the Jamaica outreach, God, that we're doing, the missionaries there. It flows into the pregnancy care center, Father. I thank you for the countless lives that they're touching by their giving and the overflow. God, you bless this church. Bless the people back. We do this because we love you, Lord, and we love our church. In the name of Jesus, all of God's people say, amen. We worship the Lord together in our